Welcome. I'm going to open this meeting of the Joint Ways and Means Committee, the Subcommittee on Information Technology, for May 7th, 2015. And do you want to tell us what we're going to look at first here?
I will. Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, today we're hearing from two agencies, the Oregon State Police and the Oregon Department of Transportation, the Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division. First up is the Oregon State Police to talk about their CrimeView system replacement project. Just to give a little background about the request, within Senate Bill 5531, policy option package number 101, the Oregon State Police has made a 2015-17 request in the amount of $7 million to launch the OSP CrimeView system replacement project. These resources are meant to augment an existing pot of about $1 million in existing other funds that the Oregon State Police has set aside for the project. The agency, in alignment with the Joint State CIO and LFO stage gate review process, anticipates that funding or spending authority for the project would be released in stages. This particular project has two components. The CrimeView component deals with the criminal history and hot file databases. The second component concerns the law enforcement message switch. The project is expected to, over its entire lifespan, to span a duration of 38 to 50 months, well through the 2017-19 biennium. The preliminary cost estimate for the entire project, including both components, is approximately $15.6 million.
Okay, well, if the agency wants to come forward and present the package, that'd be great. Welcome.
Thank you. Senator Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, and members of the committee. My name is Tom Worthy. I'm a captain with the Oregon State Police, and I'm here to present to you the CrimeView Replacement Project. Seated with me to my left is David Alamein. He's our Chief Information Officer for the Oregon State Police. And thank you, sir, for that introduction. That was very accurate. I'm going to go through the project, and we're going to get to our POP information, and David will take over for some numbers after that. So, let's see here. There we go. As was mentioned, CrimeView is really a two-phase project. There's the CrimeView, which is a database and an application, series of applications that sit on top of it. It holds hot files, which are listed on the board, things like sex offender registry, protection orders, warrants, wanted people articles, very critical to the administration of justice in Oregon. This database and the application series on top of it processes about 32 million transactions per year, and it is mission critical to law enforcement, requiring at least 99.95% uptime, which we currently support. The LEMS is a law enforcement message switch, is what it stands for. You can think of it as kind of a universal router for sending law enforcement messages around the United States and beyond even. It's the message switch. It's the hub for communications around Oregon and beyond. Again, mission critical for Oregon, and it has approximately 330 million transactions per year, again requiring 99.95% uptime. So very high standard for support on that. Next is the services that CrimeView and LEMS provide for the administration of justice. It's the sole source repository for criminal history in Oregon. It's required 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the way around the year. And it supports not only law enforcement, but really the administration of justice, as well as regulatory issues in Oregon. These systems are checked when somebody wants to purchase a gun or check for background investigation on somebody that's going to be caring for a vulnerable person or population. And really, it's a criminal justice data exchange worldwide. It's very foundational to what we do and our partner agencies. The customers that are served by these systems are virtually everybody, as you can see in the presentation, 700 and something local, federal, and state agencies, 130 non-criminal justice agencies, federal agencies, Oregon citizens. Just about everybody's affected by this. So again, I think the gravity of the situation is readily self-apparent. The issues and needs that are brought forth in this project, the software and hardware is 18 years old. The hardware is an 18-year-old. The software is, the application is. It's no longer supported by the vendor. SAIC was the original vendor. That was taken over for support from the OSP Information Technology section. And our core competency is not programming. That's something that we do now. It's not our core mission. And it's something that should be supported by professionals in that industry. There is a risk of catastrophic failure within the system. If things went wrong, they could go severely wrong in this. And it doesn't really meet current industry standards for flexibility of the systems. OSP's presented a policy option package number 101. And within that, we acknowledge and have continually throughout all of our project documentation tried to stay in alignment with DAS, the state CIO, LFO, and the stage gate process. We acknowledge that all of our contracts are going to be deliverables based, and that our system preference for replacement is a commercial off-the-shelf system, that we don't want to go out and try and invent this extremely complicated spider web wheel on our own. That's not something that we want to do. We want to buy something that other people are using and stay within the mainstream.
So I'm assuming that many states already have a current usable system, and that we'll look at those as we go forward.
All right. Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. Yes, sir. In our business case, we took a look at the industry across America. About half the states have homegrown systems and half have a vendor-supplied system. And there are vendors that operate in this market space and provide this service to states. So it's very possible to go buy this. The professional service contracts that we know are going to be required for this project are professional project management, a system integrator, since it's going to be complex and there's some risk in this, a business analyst to help us define requirements from system to user and all the way around the horn on that, as well as professional external quality assurance. And the department does have some experience in delivering projects like this. We recently brought forth our records management system, as well as an enterprise service bus and a CAD system. And so these are processes that are familiar with us, and virtually all the partners in this project are in this room, and everybody in here is being advised and consulted with. So our funding philosophy for the project is that we're not going to come over here and ask for a single dollar of additional general fund until we've expended all available other funds. And we do have some on hand, primarily through our CGIS funds. And we think that general fund will be needed in the future by ENIA in order to complete the project, and that we'll come back here and ask for that as it becomes necessary. So to take a deeper dive into the monies surrounding this project, I'm going to turn it over to David Alamein, who will take it from here.
Thank you. Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, and members of the committee, just want to give you a high-level overview on the finance portion of this particular project, breaking it down into more of a simplistic format. But we really want to look at the database component and what that financial spend equates to. Based on the 15-17 biennium, we estimated a total of project cost of approximately $8 million. OSP has $1 million existing of other funds limitations available, and that takes us down to approximately $7 million in total funds that we're requesting.
Before you continue, could you introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, for the record, my name is David Alamein, and I'm the Chief Information Officer for Oregon State Police IT.
Thank you.
Just to continue, so we have our OSP request at $5 million limitation of spending authority, and then another additional $2 million that we requested for a general fund. Now, based on the general fund limitation, we actually adjusted that we take care of the database implementation, the next portion in the 17-19 biennium, which estimates a remaining cost of approximately $3.6 million in a general fund. And then that takes care of the database component itself. The next component that we have is for the message switch. And the message switch, that will obviously take place in the 17-19 projected biennium at an estimated project cost of around $3.9 million of general fund. which takes us up to the 15.6 million total that we've been referred to with the LFO as well in his analysis. Further than that, we also have the ongoing maintenance expenses. So that's basically takes care of the implementation cost. With the maintenance expenses for CrimeView, which really consists of the application and the database itself, that implementation project for 1719, that would have approximately a maintenance of around 2.2 million. And then that extends into 1921, where we're projecting a general fund of approximately as well 2.2 million. For the message switch itself, since that will still be in the project phase during 1719, there are no maintenance costs incurred there. But for the 1921, we're estimating a general cost for the message switch around $800,000. Now, when the project completes and we look at both CrimeView, the application, the database, and the law enforcement message switch, we're assuming that will be sustained with general funds, approximately around $3 million that begins in the 19 to 21 biennium. And then based on those expenditures and cash available, that would also project that we contribute the need to maybe reevaluating the CJIS fee levels during that 1921 biennium itself. And then last but not least, we're not sure what the rates would look like at that point in time with the SDC rates. So we want to be able to consider that into the equation as well. It's just really premature and preliminary to tell at this point. We also had a business case that we completed in February of 2015. The company is called MTG. These consultants estimated, based on their capital outlay cost estimation, anywhere between $3.5 million and $13.6 million for a similar COT system used by other states and agencies. We also estimated, MTG actually estimated ongoing maintenance of around $240,000 to approximately $1 million per year, which equates to $2 million per biennium, and our estimations were around 2.2. So that equates pretty closely. And then as we go through the stage gate process, the details will become more clear with regards to the requirements. So as the requirements become more clear, we will have more definitive costs associated with that, and that picture will become more clear to us. One of the key identifiers that MTG recommended, and this is based on an assessment that they made, that it also could make sense to replace the message switch first. So we have the assumption that we will go through the database first, but we do want to keep that flexibility in mind in case that is the best practice in the industry today. We won't necessarily know that today until the requirements become more clear, but we do want to bring it to the table to make sure that there is that flexibility that's involved there based on best recommendations in the industry. The next slide really translates to the timeline with the stage gate process. That red indicator shows you where we are today. We formally went through the stage gate process. We went through stage gate one. We're actually getting ramped up to get the RFP and it's posted on ORPN and get the PM and the BA contractors on board pretty soon. And then that timeline also indicates the 50% vision that's been accomplished, refining the business case itself up to that 90 percentile vision that we're looking for. The project expenses up to date, just to give you a good indication as far as what we've been doing to get through the stage gate one, we've incurred approximately $203,000 worth of expenses from our own funds through the preparation of getting the business case into play and getting prepared to get through the stage gate one. And that's taken approximately 1.5 to 2 years worth of effort. And then last but not least, we really know that CrimeView is that centralized point of presence, not just locally, but also throughout other states, nationally, through the FBI and the International Criminal Justice Telecommunication Systems, which makes sure that the project is mission critical to the administration of not just the justice but the safety for Oregon. And then the business case, we feel pretty comfortable that that's being completed at 50% vision. We're always going to be refining that to increase that. The stage gate process, we're in partnership with the state CIO office, and we will make sure that those funds don't get expended unless we get through the actual stage gate and we qualify through the LFO office itself. And then second last but not least, we have a project manager coming on board. Once that ORPN posting, once we get that RFP, and we also have the business analyst associated with a project manager as a team, because we feel there's so many requirements that are out there that we really need a good business analyst to help us identify and solidify those requirements so that we can get a clearer picture as we go forth. And then we also want to make sure that we have the good quality assurance involved. We're in that vendor selection process with quality assurance. And then these are also cost estimations. They're preliminary costs, so these costs could change once it becomes more clear. But we do want to emphasize the fact that these are very high-level preliminary costs at this point in time. And just want to pose if you have any questions.
Any questions?
We do have one.
Yeah. So, Sean, do you want to give us the LFO recommendation?
Chair Riley, members of the committee, as you can tell from the Oregon State Police presentation, they're in the very early stages of this project. That said, they have satisfied the initial requirements of the stage gate review process, stage gate one. I did post on OLIS the state CIO's memo to that effect, approving stage gate one for the project. They have quite a bit of work to do, certainly in market research, and and also that will come through the additional resources that they're bringing onto the project to complete an updated business case, the project management plan, and some of those other details will come clear in the next few months. With that said, they've been very transparent in reporting to our office, working with our office and with the Office of the State CIO, and we believe they've performed an adequate level of due diligence at this point in the project's life cycle. And so with that, we did provide detailed recommendation in the LFO memorandum. We recommend incremental conditional approval of the package, again, assuming the funding is made available by the transportation, or excuse me, in this case, the public safety subcommittee of Ways and Means.
Okay. So I'm going to open a work session on the Oregon State Police Option Package 101. And the chair's going to move that the LFO recommendation be approved. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So we will move that on to the committee, and we'll go on with the next issue. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Sean?
Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee. Next up, we have the Oregon Department of Transportation, Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division. They'll be talking again about the service transformation program.
I'm going to close work session and open a public hearing on the ODOT DMV option package 140.
Great.
I think I'm set up here. Okay.
Would you like me to give an overview?
Yes, please.
Great. Senator Riley, members of the committee, within House Bill 5040, Policy Option Package 140, the ODOT DMV division has made a revised 2015-17 request in the amount of $30,446,463 and 42 positions, which translates to 29.91 FTE, to launch the initial phase of the DMV service transformation program. The resources will be used to plan and begin implementation of the program, which ultimately is intended to do a number of things. One, improve overall service efficiency throughout the division and the department for both the public and partner agencies, to upgrade and replace obsolete technology, which in many cases was designed and deployed in the 1960s and 70s. The program, as you heard at our March 17th hearing, is comprised of a set of manageable projects. This is an overarching program that will be managed in discrete units, discrete projects. It is expected, if fully approved by the legislature, to run 9 to 10 years in duration for a total cost estimate of about $90 million.
Coach O'Reilly, Coach Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom McClellan. I'm the DMV Administrator with the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm here to speak to policy option number 140 with the Department of Transportation's budget request for next biennium. It's a DMV service transformation program is the policy package. As mentioned, we have provided a fairly comprehensive overview of this request to you back on March 17th. I think the committee staff has provided links to the in OLIS to that presentation material. We've also given a phase two presentation to the transportation subcommittee as well on this particular package. Focus today is on the budget package and some new and updated information for you since that last report almost 2 months ago. In our situation, DMV cannot serve customers as well as we'd like because we're saddled with inefficient business processes and obsolete technology. Many agencies that come before you are asking to replace systems built in the 80s and 90s. We have systems 60s and 70s. The 80s and 90s are the newer systems that we have, I think, in place today. So we definitely have, I think, a solid business case to move forward with this. Listed there on this slide are six of those barriers that we need to overcome as we move forward into the future. Yeah, last year, the legislature formed a customer service task force to look at the efficiency and the effectiveness of our customer service in our field offices. Senator Thatcher actually was on that task force. After spending several months looking at our operations, the number one primary recommendation was replace your computer systems. You've got to do that first. That will allow you to change a lot of your business processes, bring in some new technology that will enable far better service to the public than what you're able to provide today. So that was number one recommendation from that group. Our legacy systems are what you consider a patchwork of code modules, segregated system applications, increasingly difficult to maintain and costly over time. The benefits that we expect through this are for our customers. You know, you think of DMV, you think of customers in field offices. You know, queuing systems, electronic applications, just a more efficient flow through our offices you would expect, you know, from this type of a program. And much more opportunity for online services than what we have today. Personal record requests, driver license replacements, reinstatement of driving privileges potentially. There's just a host of things that other states are able to do today for their customers, for the people that they serve from the comfort of their home. Other benefits, though, also go to our key business partners. And we include in that category courts, local government, law enforcement, DEQ, vehicle dealers, financial institutions, insurance companies. It's a very long list of the people that we support. And with the technologies we have today, really hold them back in what they would like to be able to accomplish. Our policy package request is for $30.4 million, and that's to hire some staff and procure experienced contracted vendors to take on the first set of projects under the program. Total project costs, again, 9 to 10 years, about $90 million. So this is the first phase, so first set of projects that we need to undertake. During the next biennium, the 15-17 biennium, planning work will continue with the emphasis being on defining business requirements, developing that procurement scope of work, and hiring a solution vendor for the systems identified for that first phase. And those first systems that we want to replace are, the biggest one is our vehicle title and registration system. But we also need a better point of sale system for our field offices and even for headquarters to be able to take in money and account for that money in a more efficient way. We want to install a dealer system. We license and regulate vehicle dealers and dismantlers in the state. We really don't have a system in place to really do an effective job of that for licensing and doing the inspections and investigative work and sanctions that we impose on those businesses. We need a better system for that. And finally, we need to start putting together a web capability, a web portal. We're initially calling it DMV2U, like a license plate or custom plate, would be a place where people can go and get personal information, their own records, and do some of those transactions that today they feel they need to go to a field office and are just time-consuming for them to complete. This particular slide is a breakdown of the cost by major budget categories. You'll note that about two-thirds of the expenditures, $20 million, is in capital outlay for software packages and services. About 17% is for staffing, which includes backfills for some of our program and subject matter experts that are in the business area of DMV today that we need to have on this project because of what's in their heads, what they know about how our business works and our policies and the laws that support what we do. We're committed to hiring professionals to bring expertise that DMV needs, as well as additional capacity that we need. Anticipated contracts that we're seeing in this request, support for web development, quality assurance, risk assessments, strategic planning, and a project advisor, finding a company who's done this type of work and has advised motor vehicle agencies in particular, if we can find that kind of company, that could advise us as we move forward in making the right steps. We're gonna make missteps, I'm sure, as we go through this. And you'll probably be the first to find out about that.
I hope so.
And yes, you will. And but we need to have good advisors in this. And like the group that came before you, we're not experts necessarily in building these types of systems. So we need those experts who've been through this process before. This package is funded with DMV fees and the state highway fund revenues. Although the customer service task force also looked at this and said, you know, another way to do this would be a surcharge or a small increase in some of your transactions that you have today. So you'd have a dedicated source of funds to maybe pay for this investment in systems to support the customers coming into the offices. That's an option. There are ongoing discussions regarding other funding options for this particular package. But what we have proposed is that it would come from our fees and from the highway fund. DMV has completed the requirements for stage one approval. That was received on April 29th from the Office of the State CIO. The funding requested in the package will enable us to progress through stages two and three and begin execution in the last quarter of the 15-17 biennium, execution as far as moving forward with that replacement of systems. This slide outlines our current projected timeline for moving through each stage gate, plus the anticipated cost to reach those particular milestones. The note on the chart, which you can see, includes an estimated unspent amount of $14.4 million for the vehicle solution being carried forward into the 2017-19 biennium. The schedule calls for a multi-year contract being signed in late 2016 with a detailed project plan and budget from the vendor by January of 2017. And that would then be presented to you. That'd be one of the first deliverables coming from that contractor, that vendor, telling us, given what you want us to do, here's the schedule we expect from you that we will provide and fall within. The state CAO and his staff, along with LFO analysts, will determine the agency's readiness to proceed to the next stage after reviewing various deliverables and artifacts required of the next stage gate that's ahead of us. Stage two requires a high-level project plan, an initial risk assessment, quality assurance contractor on board, and a vendor RFP. Stage three, which is currently slated for late January of 2017, would include a vendor contract, a detailed project plan, and a budget to execute those first set of projects, that first phase of the service transformation program. The STP is primarily focused on improving customer service for Oregonians and our key business partners. The benefits include enhanced efficiency, greater security through fraud prevention and controls, and increased flexibility. With the support of our key stakeholders and the legislature, we're prepared to move this program from being a concept to a much more detailed plan of action for service transformation for DMV and the people that we serve. With that, I would take any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mr. Witt, Chair. Mr. McClellan, you're looking at a $90 million capital cost. What is the total cost of the project with payout and debt service?
Co-Chair Riley, Senator Whitsitt, there is no debt service. We're not issuing bonds or certificates of participation for this program. So the total payout that we're estimating over that 9 to 10 year period is that $90 million.
It's all going to be general fund cash then?
No, it'd be other funds, highway
other
fund.
Funds,
so there's
yeah.
no general
okay,
fund
sure.
involved in it.
And on your business case, you're still going to take 9 years to implement this?
Co-Chair Riley, Senator Whitsitt, that's our best estimate right now. We will know much more
and
18
and
months
still,
from now.
And you're still thinking there will be no labor savings?
Senator Whitsitt, I expect there will be some savings as we move through this, but it'll be dependent upon the improvements we're able to make and as we reinvest those savings in other areas in the organization. But as we refine that business case, as we know more, we will be able to identify any specific savings that would be accrued from this.
Do you have an estimate of the ongoing operation and maintenance costs in the way as you produce this, how many employees you're going to have or not have to run this operation, and what your service charges with DAS will be and so forth?
Co-Chair Riley, Senator Whitsitt, we really do not know that far out into the future what those would be. As far as charges from the state data center,
This has nothing to do with the VMT, the $16 million we've already invested in that pilot program, I assume?
Co-Chair Riley, Senator Whitsitt, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Nierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. McClellan, I'm looking at the business case statement or document that was produced. I think it was produced by MathTech. And I'm looking at the FTEs in there, and that just looks to me it looks like a little bit heavy there. So you have 42 positions, or I should say it's 30 FTEs for 42 positions, 30 FTEs there, but about nine of them. Our program and project management there. It's like a 3-to-1 ratio of management to workers, I guess. There, that seems a little bit low or high or whatever you want to put on it. There, how do you justify that 1-to-3 relationship, or about 1-to-3?
Co-Chair Riley, Representative Nierman, could you clarify? You are looking at the document from MathTech.
Yeah, right.
We took their recommendations from 2 years ago and built a budget request, which is different in staffing composition than what you're actually looking at there. We're not going light on project management, but we think that's a very important component for us to have and have seasoned, skilled people in that type of a role. Our initial request that was in the governor's budget might have actually been a little light on management because it was about a, 2-to-17 or 3-to-17 ratio as far as 3-to-17 manager.
So
1-to-17, I guess.
Nierman, if we could ask staff to answer that question as well, I think there might be some enlightenment there.
Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, Representative Nierman, while Legislative Fiscal Office has not looked into or benchmarked the ratio issue that you brought up, certainly in terms of overall project team size, if we take the Department of Revenue's core system replacement project, which is roughly an $80 million project over several biennia, the staff count that are being proposed here are in line with that. There's about 25 to 30 folks on the Department of Revenue project. I think we're right in line there for this particular effort. So there are some benchmarks in terms of existing projects within the state of Oregon that align with that overall number.
That project was kind of troubled too, if I remember right.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Nierman, that particular project spent a number of years in the planning phase. They then have been able to identify and move forward with a single vendor to replace all of the Department of Revenue's core tax systems, and that project has gone very, very well.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Further questions? Did the state CIO want to weigh in on this at all?
No.
No. Okay. So we are in public hearing. Is there anyone else who would like to talk about this? I'm going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to open a work session on the POP 140. And you want to make a motion?
I'd be happy to make a motion. Mr. Chair, we have a memorandum that includes some very specific recommendations from Legislative Fiscal Office. So I move that we, approve the LFO recommendations and ask that these be communicated to the final subcommittee that will consider this.
Do you want to lay those out for us before we take a vote?
Certainly. I can, Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. Specifically, the Legislative Fiscal Office has recommended a series of actions take place prior to the agency coming forward and requesting legislative approval for project execution. Certainly, as they've already been doing, we're asking that they continue to work closely with and regularly report project status to the Office of State CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office. That they continue to follow the joint stage gate review process, which, as Mr. McClellan indicated, the state CIO has approved the project through stage gate one just at the end of April. That they update the program's business case, and as this is a program with multiple projects, that they develop and update associated cost benefit and alternatives analysis documents for program sub-projects. As Mr. McClellan indicated in the previous hearing, previous approaches to replacing DMV systems involved a big bang approach, a single system, with quite a number of years between the time of project initiation to knowing whether or not progress was being made and or value was being delivered. In contrast, this particular project or program envisions delivering discrete projects, discrete systems over that entire nine to 10 year period. So as they're going to have individual projects, we believe they need to have detailed analysis on each one of those projects. That they hire or appoint or contract for qualified project management services with the experience in planning and managing programs and projects of this type, size and magnitude. That they develop the foundational program management and project management documents for the program. That they work with the Office of the State CIO to obtain independent quality assurance services, to conduct an initial risk assessment, to perform quality control reviews on the business case, the individual cost-benefit and alternatives analysis documents, and also the foundational project management documents. And then as directed by the Office of the State CIO, that the contractor perform ongoing independent quality assurance and quality management services, not only as directed by the Office of the State CIO, but also for a program of this size as directed by House Bill 4122, which was passed in the 2014 annual session. The last few recommendations, we have required that they, once they're done with all of that work, that they submit those documents back to the Office of the State CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office for stage gate review. That was outlined in slide 5 in terms of the time frame within which the agency plans to have that information available. That they report back to the legislature on status during the annual session and any interim meetings that the legislature may require. And finally, that they request legislative approval to proceed with the program prior to initiating project execution activities. So the agency has committed to robust planning, to making sure that they are ready, that others believe they're ready before they move forward. One last item, there is a new system called the Enterprise Project and Portfolio Management System. It's an automated reporting, tracking, evaluation system that the Office of the State CIO was authorized to put in place. We've asked that the agency submit their materials, that they interact with that system so that there's good transparency and ongoing reporting.
Okay. So we're under a motion. Is there further discussion?
Yes.
Do
you have a question, sir?
No.
I,
I appreciate the explanation, but I mean, we're talking about $30 million here. Where, when and where does the, are we appropriating this money and they're going to spend it and report back? Or are we appropriating this money subject to all these things being done before they can spend the money? Let's be a little more specific.
Certainly. Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, on April 15th, there was a detailed conversation. I call it detailed. There was a robust discussion about that particular issue before the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee. The agency was asked, I believe, by Representative Nierman and by other members of that committee to take the $30 million roughly and break it apart. Initially, there was a request to have the agency indicate, I would say by month, by quarter, to outline their spending plan. An alternative was suggested by Representative Nierman, please correct me if I'm wrong, for the agency to break the $30.4 million out into the amount they would need to move from stage gate to stage gate. And essentially that's what the agency has done in slide five. And so my understanding of the commitment that the agency will make to to the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee is that they will expend only those monies that are necessary to move from gate to gate, that prior to execution activities, they will have a remaining $14 million or so. I'm checking here with Mr. McClellan, that the legislature would either authorize or not at that period in time.
And why, Mr. Fickett, why are we authorizing $30 million if they're not able to spend more than 15?
Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, the LFO memo and the agency presentation is reflecting what the agency has requested in its policy option package and in the House bill that is under consideration before the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee. We have not recommended necessarily a specific dollar amount at this point. That's an issue that the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee indicates that it is still yet to weigh in on. They've asked the agency to provide additional information, and the agency's done so. So the recommendation that I've made is, assuming resources are made available at that level or at an alternative level, the agency would still need to go through the same steps in order to get to execution.
If the presentation was made in another subcommittee and the decision will be made in another subcommittee, what are we doing here?
That's a good question. And the answer, as I understand it, is that we are to make a recommendation not on budget, but on process. And if we believe that the process is not the right process, then we should change it. So that's my understanding.
With due respect, Mr. Chair, that's the work of a policy committee.
I agree with that. Unfortunately, we don't have a policy committee, and I've been working on that. So hopefully we will have a policy committee soon, and I hope you'll be on it.
From my perspective, this is not ready for prime time, and I won't be supporting it today.
Okay, I appreciate that. Further, yes, you have more discussion.
Yeah, I have some questions here, and actually I'll direct them to LFO, because these are kind of technical process questions. So on the last three bullet points there, so when it says that they're to report back to the legislature on the STP status, what does that mean, report back to the legislature? Is that this committee? Is it LFO? What does that mean?
Chair Riley, members of the committee, Representative Nierman, what that means is formal presentations before legislative committee. In the interim, there are legislative days. They will be required to come back in September. Also in December, and then shortly thereafter, I believe there may be a meeting in January, but shortly thereafter in 16, there's an annual session, and so the agency's been asked to report regularly the status before a committee. Now, the co-chairs and/or the legislative leadership has not yet determined whether this committee will continue in the interim, whether there'll be a formation of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management Technology, et cetera. We typically, in those situations, we simply work with the agency, with legislative leadership, to determine which committee it might go to. The likelihood is that it would go at minimum to an interim committee on transportation.
On the second to the last bullet point, if I can follow, Mr. Chair, the second to the last bullet point there, it says that they need to request legislative approval to proceed with the SDP program. So, and I assume if I ask the question, the same question, what would that be? Your answer would be similar. That will be a committee determined by leadership, and we don't know what committee, and you'd probably just say probably a committee, right? What kind of a... So that means they're dead in the water. If they finish their thing on the day after September legislative days, they get to the next stage gate. That means they're dead in the water until the December legislative days, right?
I'm not sure. Emergency board is moving. Yes. So Senator Riley just reminded me. So there's the annual session, and then after the annual session, there are emergency board meetings of the emergency board and specific committees that support the emergency board. So they would not be dead in the water necessarily. The core purpose of the recommendation is simply to say that the agency has expressed a plan, a timeline that indicates it will complete readiness activities, and at a certain point it will be ready for execution. And we have said the agency cannot, as an example, execute contracts with design development implementation contractors or with product vendors until it receives the explicit authority by the legislature to move forward.
Okay.
So it could be at an emergency board, but certainly based on the timeline that the agency has conveyed to us, it likely would work for it to be directly during the 2017 legislative session.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion in front of us to... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm still not clear who is the keeper of the funds here. Are these funds going to be unscheduled and then released by LFO? Are they going to be unscheduled and released only by the emergency board because interim committees have no authority to do that? Or is it going to be up to the agency how they spend the money?
Senator Riley, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, the direction that I've been given, that we've been given by the co-chairs, is that decisions on scheduling or unscheduling, decisions on allocation of specific levels of funding, position levels, et cetera, will be made by the primary subcommittee that is taking action on the agency's budget bill. Certainly,
you don't have that authority during the interim.
Let me clarify. What I meant there was during this particular legislative session, that's the decision to unschedule, schedule, et cetera, would be made by the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee. In terms of scheduling and unscheduling, that typically is done, through legislative direction in the budget report.
So it hasn't been decided yet?
Hasn't been decided yet. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I have absolutely no doubt that they need to change their computer systems. I agree. But I think there have been some concerns raised about and some questions that need to be answered maybe before we jump on to moving this. I don't know if you want to, like, carry that over to another day.
I think that might be a good idea. We are in work session, and there is a motion on the table. But I believe that I'm going to ask you to remove that motion at this point and carry this over to another session. And would you like to do that?
Yes, I can withdraw the motion, and we're going to carry over the work session to another date.
Correct.
Thank you.
So we're going to carry this work session over to probably next Tuesday. or next Thursday, actually better.
Co-Chair Riley, we can work on scheduling. Certainly the meeting on the 12th has opened up. We do have room also on the meeting on the 14th. Would also offer that another option certainly is for this committee to return the issue, move the issue back to the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee without recommendation. That's another option.
Mr. Chair, normally we would be able to continue our meeting until 5:30. Is that right?
That's correct.
Would it be a terrible imposition to stand at ease just for 2 or 3 minutes while we confer with LFO about how to keep the trains running?
Okay.
And how to, you know, balance how to schedule these work sessions.
Okay, we're going to stand at ease for 5 minutes. Sorry. They call us back into session. And I'm going to carry this matter over until the 14th, and we will, the work session will be carried over until the 14th. So that concludes our